Good morning and welcome. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Welcome back. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you didn't get caught up in all that shopping. I don't know about you, Pastor Boyce Clarion. You a Black Friday kind of guy? You go out there and mix it up with the crowds?
Oh, no, no, no. I'm too busy doing church things.
Better things to do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a ritual for some people, I guess. They just, you know, for some reason like to wander out into that stuff.
Or are they also like to camp out maybe and rush crash through windows and stuff. Although I imagine they sort of diffused that, I think, because they opened the stores late at night on Thanksgiving Day. I think that, what I heard.
Bass Pro Shop Walmart was actually open Thanksgiving morning.
Wow.
You can believe that.
Yeah. So, I love going to Cabela's because they got such a nice display of the fish of Missouri, and I like to.
Oh, it's a display?
at St. Louis Mills, they've got all these beautiful Missouri fish, these big catfish, and then they got these taxidermist animals in a display.
Yeah, like don't mistake it for a swimming pond.
No,
I won't go into that.
Well,
don't want to do that.
Yeah, with water moccasins and other different creatures of the water.
Pastor David Boyce Clare, our guest this morning, is a servant at two congregations here in St. Louis, Faith and Bethesda Lutheran Churches. And I didn't see you pull up in my Mercedes.
No. But we've got that. We've put our donors on notice that that we do.
There's a forlorn little radio guy who needs a Mercedes.
Like on KMOX, they have for the blind. Donate cars.
Yeah. Well, you know, people who may not have heard our little routine that we do before. That's our lead in to talk about a very worthy cause.
Yes.
That helps support two congregations that you serve.
Yeah, that's correct.
And that's the resale shop.
Yes.
Everything is
a dollar or less.
No inflation, I've noticed. They just did the 12 Days of Christmas. That's the big news story this morning about how much will the 12 Days of Christmas cost.
Yes.
4.5%
more. You should see all of the wonderful Christmas gifts or potential Christmas gifts that we have and that our donors have given, they just love our store so much that they, you know, it's really a blessing. It's a miracle almost.
Well, the miracle is not just in being able to go and purchase, but you also can, if you're a congregation, donate items for the resale shop.
Yes, and at least two congregations have. Of course, one of them is an ELCA congregation, which we were very thankful for. Zion in Ferguson donates a tremendous amount of items to us, and Holy Cross O'Fallon doubles that, and we love. Both congregations and our brothers and sisters in Christ who are so that love the Lord and to see the I think I maybe mentioned this on this program one time that a lady who comes to our thrift store just says all I have to pay my mortgage and my utilities and there isn't any money left, tears in her eyes, at least I can come here and get some decent clothing and other things for my children. So it's a blessing.
It is very special work that you do, not just for the church, but also for the community in which those congregations are located. And listeners, stand by, because there may be a very special opportunity coming up very soon. We'll be talking about that more in the coming weeks, about a very special project involving which congregation is it?
A faith congregation. The thrift store is located.
Fixing what may be a holy problem.
A very
with
holy
your roof.
Problem, yes.
But there will be more information forthcoming about that as we work our way through the Christmas season. Well, congratulations. You get Proverbs 3.
Yes. Dr. Steinman, who wrote the commentary on Proverbs, says that this is one of the pick Proverbs.
Yeah, I called Dr. Steinman. He very graciously gave me some of his time, and I said, give me your five best Psalms and your five best Proverbs to do for some quick programming, sort of as an in-between, doing the book of Acts and then whatever we venture into next. And not Proverbs 1 or 2, but Proverbs 3, he said, because it's an interesting look at Lady Wisdom and Lady Foolishness.
Mm-hmm. Very,
but before
very
we
nice.
Get to that, let's begin with prayer.
Heavenly Father, send us your Holy Spirit that he may guide us in studying your word. First things first, we come to your word trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation, wanting to be fed on this spiritual food. We thank and praise you for the book of Proverbs. We thank and praise you for the wisdom. Who is Jesus? And, of course, the wisdom that comes through him into the inscripturated word, which we are about to read, study, meditate, inwardly digest, as the collect says. And we ask that you would guide us as we study this word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. So what's the point, Pastor Boies Clair, of trying to live a life in a manner complementary to Christ?
Of course, that's the fruit of trusting in Christ. As James so well puts it, faith without works is dead. In other words, it isn't faith at all. And so when we have true faith in Jesus Christ, which is worked by the Holy Spirit, the fruits come forth: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, and all of these things accompany faith. It's like you can't have one without the other. But again, it's not works or a holy life that's lived. In order to be saved, we've already got salvation. You know, this is a blessing, that it's something free, and of course it isn't like the medieval church thought it was works of supererogation that we can set in a treasury of merits.
Kind of like the free vacation weekend, but you only have to sit through a 2-hour presentation in order to get it.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask about living a life complementary to Christ is because it strikes me that Proverbs is basically, well, for lack of a better term, a how-to manual in how to live this life in God's creation.
Well, it would be, you know, if you want to talk about it in catechetical terms, you could say it's the third use of the law. You know, in other words,
let's say curb, mirror,
and rule.
Guide. Okay,
rule,
got it. Okay.
Or guide,
okay.
Yeah. I like the word guide. But again, the thing is, of course, let us always remember that the law has to have all, can't take the teeth out of the law. The law still accuses, the law still convicts, the law still gives me a problem. But now that I'm a Christian, the new part of me that the Holy Spirit has created loves the law. Oh, how I love the law. It is my meditation all
day. Oh, sure. Oh, sure. When you're writing flowery theological things, that makes perfect sense. But, you know, Pastor, when you're out here in the trenches with the rest of us, that's something very hard to say.
I completely agree. But I'm just saying that the law, you know, we don't want to say that we can take the other, you know, in other words, the convicting use of the law, the condemning, killing function of the law, and sort of set it to one side, and then just take the law as sort of a how-to manual, as if we have the ability. Of course, now that we've been reborn in Christ, we begin to do that. The Holy Spirit is leading our life in accordance with what the law says.
So how does this work? It seems to me that if I focus on the Proverbs and I start living the Christian life, and I start becoming obedient to the law, eventually I'm going to come to the point where I'm going to say, hey, I'm keeping the law pretty darn good.
That's a danger. That's a danger. Of course, the new you, the new man or new woman wouldn't say that. It's the old, there's the old man, the old Adam in us that doesn't have a right to the freedom in Christ. You know, that the sinful nature just loves the freedom of the gospel, because it's a license, because the old nature sees it as a license to do whatever it wants, you know, or in other words, that part of us sees, hey, you know, I'm free in Christ, so I can do anything I want, you know.
And believe me, I've tried to.
and of course, the new nature, of course, looks at it as I'm free to do the law. I'm free to follow the Lord's law and to be pleasing to him by the grace of the Holy Spirit.
I notice you've mentioned Jesus several times. Perhaps it would be good to pause for a moment and explain to me how Jesus comes into play in Proverbs when he doesn't show up for, what, about some thousand odd years?
Ultimately, when you say that, as Luther says, that Jesus, that the Holy Scriptures are the swaddling clothes that wrap the baby Jesus in the manger.
Very Christmas. I like that.
Yeah,
very Christmas feel to that. Very good.
Yes. And when it's speaking about wisdom, it's speaking about Christ. In this particular case, of course, it's personifying it as a woman, a beautiful woman.
Well, there's the first confusing bit.
Yeah. And, of course, the Holy Spirit in Hebrew is ruach, which is also female. So, and that's why some modern theologians want to say that the Holy Spirit is the female element in the Trinity, and God, she will help you, and so on.
Hmm.
I mean, not saying that we agree with that, but the point is that ultimately, the wisdom here is Jesus Christ. And he is the wisdom of God. He is the Word of God, and he is the one who is the source. And so that's why we find Christ in these passages when it speaks about wisdom.
So this is application for the Ten Commandments.
Yes, exactly.
Excuse me, I spent too much time outside this weekend, I think.
We were talking about this before. You know, if people will, they should read Proverbs in with Job and with Ecclesiastes, because those two books kind of put the Proverbs into a critique. Well, hey, you know, what happens? Why is it okay? I do all of the things, you know, as it says, for instance, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and you shall live long upon the earth. So if I follow the Proverbs, I can have a very happy and prosperous life. Well, guess what? Bang, it doesn't happen. And even though I'm a faithful person in the Lord, I have incurable cancer. And that's where that's called into question. That's where Job and Ecclesiastes call this type of wisdom into question.
Because the question today, especially in this consumer time of year, is what's in it for me. If someone like Hugh Hefner can live that kind of lifestyle and then recant, repent, and be saved on his deathbed, what have I gained by being respectful of God's law for the balance of my life?
Yeah, and that's kind of a question that's dealt with in Job and Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes sort of kind of says, then to be at peace, and, you know, it doesn't really... It talks about at the end of Ecclesiastes that there is a life to come. And as Luther says, that there is the light of reason, which doesn't answer the question, but you have the light of grace, which tells you that those who trust in the Lord are blessed better than though, and obviously they have eternal life. And somebody can be a moral person and not trust in Christ and go to hell.
People have favorite verses that they memorize, maybe thematic for their life or something that meant something very special to them at a time trying for their lives. I don't hear, maybe it's me, but I don't hear a lot of people saying that their favorite verse comes out of Proverbs. It seems to be a book that gets overlooked, perhaps intentionally.
Yes, I have to confess that I'm guilty of that. The neat thing about Proverbs is you could read one chapter of Proverbs every day of a month, because you have 31 of them, 31 chapters in Proverbs.
What do you do in February?
You probably read maybe two or three on one of those days.
No excuses. We always have to complete the work. Well, there is this conflict where you have Proverbs admonishing us, you know, what it means to observe God's law, love God's law. But then you have this misinterpretation of Galatians 5. You know, for freedom you have been set free.
Ah, yes.
Okay. It seems that freedom and law are antithetical to each other. They're polar opposites. To be free is to be free of the law, but yet Proverbs is admonishing us to observe the law.
Well, we are free that we are not under the gun to fulfill the law in order to be saved. But, I mean, the neat thing is that as those who are unregenerate, those who are, do not believe in the Lord, they do not have any freedom to follow God's law. They only can sin, and everything they do is sin. You know, when, I know that there are people that are moral, even not being Christian, they're good and moral and so on, but they're not. They do not live a life that is pleasing to God without, being in Christ.
So, what is the life pleasing to God? Is it observing the law? Is it faith? What does it look like?
Well, first and foremost, it is faith in Christ. And you know, I think it's also, again, here I am a Lutheran saying this, but I was listening to Focus on the Family as I was driving here. It was put out by KFUO, and they talked about a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that's very important. What is our relationship with Christ? Now, in other words, that it's not just simply, okay, I've got my salvation covered, I believe in Jesus, and so on, but do I pray? Do I talk to Him? Do I trust in Him when the chips are down? In other words, that's the primary thing, that we have faith and that the Holy Spirit creates that faith, and we have a fellowship with God, fellowship with Christ. Then guess what? God likes to do this, of course, the law shows God's nature. I don't like to go so far as to say that the law is God. You know, God is the law, you might say, in that He is perfection. He is goodness, personified or tri-personified. But the thing is that the law, in a sense, is just something that shows what God does, His acts of love and mercy, and so on. Love, of course, is the fulfillment of the law. So you know, a lot of people can tie into that. Okay, then we want to love as God loved us. We want to love one another, and so that's how the law plays in there. The law says love God, love the neighbor, and
perhaps the trouble we have with Proverbs is we like to try and separate this life from the next. But as you read through Proverbs, it's a package deal. It's a continuation. It's not this or that. Do you understand what I'm getting at? It seems like when it talks about, well, for example, my son, first, you know, verse 1, Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Okay. Now that to me sounds like I'm going to get stuff in this life.
Yes, it does.
But is it talking about just this life?
The thing is as long as, you know, looking at the clear passages of Scripture, it isn't telling us that we're earning our salvation. You have to be careful about it. But in a sense, because I'm able to do the good things that are listed here, shows that I have faith in Christ. And so yes, it includes both. Both this life and the life to come, and so in a sense, it's a very good rule of thumb. You know, you live a clean life, and you live a life that is healthy, spiritually healthy. You know, as St. Paul says, whatever things are good, whatever things are of good report, think about those things. You know, don't clutter your life up with a lot of garbage. And so in saying, live a good life, live a holy life.
Well, in biblical terms, excuse me, I apologize for spending so much time outside these last couple of days. I should know better, but we'll work our way through this. In biblical terms, define prosperity and define long life.
Prosperity, of course, is it
stuff? Is it a 57-inch big screen TV?
Well, that may be the fruit of it, but like prosperity is being generous. Having God, having Christ. I mean, that's all the wealth of all the universe, and even beyond the universe. And to prosper means to grow in our faith. But and then again, then maybe God will add blessings. But sometimes those blessings can be, a curse, because they will take us away from God. You know, we're so involved in amassing wealth and stuff. that we forget God.
And so the other one was prosperity, and then you said, what was the second one? Long life. Because you mentioned this earlier, that you have people who are devout, faithful people and live very short lives. Look at the great martyrs of the church.
Yes.
Look at Stephen, not a very old man.
Yeah.
Very devout, very faithful.
Well, we have eternity then. You know, if we don't have
it
in this
life. And that's
why
I was saying, we look at it and say, you know, long life, well, okay, that's what, maybe 75, 80 years?
Well, as long as it isn't, as nothing comes in the way, we can... live the Lord. Living a good life has its benefits. Let's put it that way.
Like membership has its privileges.
Yes. Yes.
505-7850.
Three folks.
We have a full. Every time you're here, Pastor, what does that surprise you? You always get a full board of calls every time you're here. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We are in Proverbs 3 with Pastor David Boies Claire. Let's go to the phones and let's pick up. Oh, let's go to Herman first. Herman, good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Pastor, you mentioned earlier about the modern theologians referring to the Holy Spirit as she, the feminine. How would you biblically defend that the Holy Spirit would be referred to as the divine, within the divine language of Scripture, as he? How would you defend that biblically, theologically?
In Jesus's upper room discourses, he uses the word ekenos, which means that one. It's masculine. So in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a he, and so it's just a matter of the word ruach is feminine. In the Hebrew language, but it, of course, it can mean wind and spirit and so on. So there is, if you look at, I'm just thinking about John 15, where he's talking about the Holy Spirit who will guide us. That one will guide us into all truth. That meaning he, and so there is a definite teaching in Scripture that the Holy Spirit is, well, at least they use the masculine pronoun for him, and for God.
Yes, the discourses in the upper room at the Last Supper of John, that's an excellent source to work from, because Jesus is very detailed about his relationship with the Holy Trinity.
Yes, yes.
I would see apparently a lot of people are trying to bring in with this change some type of gender equity or something like that.
Exactly, and that has no. There's no. The only gender you might say is in Christ, who was incarnated as a man. But of course, the big deal is that he's incarnated as a human being. So he's our brother, whether we're male or female, but in the Father and the Holy Spirit, there is no gender.
Well, I thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Herman's call reminds me of something I saw in the news this morning about in Sweden, there's a toy company in dire, dire trouble because they were accused of just that, gender inequality.
Mm-hmm.
So now their toy catalog for Christmas, all the boys are holding dolls, and all the girls are holding guns.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Jan, save us. Good morning.
Hi, Jan.
Good morning.
We got about 30 seconds. Start your question, then we'll hold you through the break.
Thank you for waiting.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at Matthew 5:17 and following. Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law, and he makes the point that he didn't come to do away with it, and we shouldn't teach that that's the reason that he came.
Exactly. Very good point, Jan.
Well, Jan, hold tight for a moment. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from this break. You can join us at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor David Boies Claire, our guest this morning. We are going to get through Proverbs 3, I promise. We always do this.
Yes.
And we always get there. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
Peace Lutheran Church in South County, AM 850 KFUO's Church of the Week, invites you to join them Sunday, December 9, for their annual German Advent Christmas service. The preacher will be Dr. Robert Kolb of Concordia Seminary. The liturgist, Pastor Dennis Kastens of the Peace Congregation. The service begins at 2:30 Sunday afternoon, December 11, starting with pre-service music at 2:15 p.m. After the Sunday service, ethnic refreshments will be served in the gymnasium. Peace Lutheran is 850 AM KFUO's Church of the Week.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkins, and host of Moments of Assurance and Jubilation, inviting you to have a KFUO Sunday at your church. I'd be happy to preach the message for the day and share all about our KFUO ministry during the Bible class hour. You'll hear excerpts of all our programs, and also you'll have an opportunity to ask any questions you might have. So why not schedule a KFUO Sunday today? Just call Joni at 800-844-0524. Get yours on the schedule today.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? It is a sad but true fact of life that, as St. Paul reminds us, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is fitting that the Lord's Prayer should close with the petition and deliver us from the evil one. In his catechism, Martin Luther points out to us exactly where the devil finds us most vulnerable. This petition includes all the evil that may befall us under the devil's kingdom, poverty, shame, death, and in short, all the tragic misery and heartache of which there is so incalculably much here on earth. Since the devil is not only a liar but also a murderer, he incessantly seeks our life, vents his anger by causing accidents and injury to our bodies. He breaks many a man's neck and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns, and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing for us to do on earth but to pray constantly against this arch enemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour. It's also valuable for us to know every hour that the devil is a defeated foe. He knows the scripture as well as any preacher. The devil also knows the following mighty prediction about Jesus' rule and reign as a resurrected King and Lord made by St. Paul is absolutely true. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. The devil is a defeated foe. In the lyrics of a clever Christian songwriter, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Let's pray about all of this. Lord, help us to take the presence of evil seriously, but help us also to take his defeat and end seriously. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our risen and reigning Lord and Savior, who has defeated the old evil foe. Amen.
Good morning and welcome back to the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. Pastor David Boyce Clare, our guest this morning, and we were talking with Jan. Jan, you still with us?
Yeah.
Thank you for waiting,
Thank
Jan.
You very much. Go ahead and finish your thoughts, Jan.
Well, I was just going to balance that. You know, I think we forget that the first thing Jesus said in his ministry was that we should repent.
Yes, exactly.
Luther's point in his first thesis about the life of repentance, my first thought should be repentance.
Exactly.
Instead of, okay, how do I justify my position? What am I finding in Scripture that supports that? And to that point, that Matthew 5:17, Jesus criticizes the Jews for, you know, keeping track of the small things that you've done right as opposed to neglecting the more important. And he makes it clear that we should do both.
Yes.
And
yes. And the other thing is, like, he says something that's a very powerful statement. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the thing is that it people say, huh? You know, these guys are experts at the law and following the law. And you know, in a sense, it means that you're it's not having more works; it's having a different quality. You know, in other words, the imputed righteousness. And the law tells us to repent, and then we turn to Christ, and He gives us the righteousness. And then, of course, we live in that righteousness.
I think that's why it's so outrageous when people see Christian leaders fall, you know, the James Swaggarts, because, okay, implicit in that statement is these Pharisees and teachers of the law have a righteousness, and then when we see that that's not the case, you know, it just really is troublesome.
Yes.
Two other things. You mentioned earlier, or Roland, you asked the question, what is prosperity? And I thought of 3 John 1, and basically it says, I know you are prospering as your soul prospers.
Exactly.
And, you know, we can't measure our success or our prosperity by the world standards.
Exactly.
This is our standard.
Yeah.
This is our code. And I think it's important, and Proverbs 3 brings this out, where we should constantly be bringing our reason to subjugation of the word, or to the word of Christ.
Right.
I think that's a good synopsis of Proverbs in general.
Yes.
Jan, thanks
yes.
for the call. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too.
Let's go on to Rick. Oh, Rick has been hanging on for quite a while. Rick, thank you for your patience. You're a man of great endurance.
I hope so. God help me. Thanks for taking my call, Roland. Pastor Voice Claire.
Hi, Rick.
I think I know of this holy problem that we're speaking of that you have, and to bring back an old phrase, Lord, help us raise the roof. And that's what that got me is when Roland asked you about what is prosperity, the first word you said was generosity. And we don't have a problem with about believing Adam and Eve. We don't have a problem with believing in the ark. We don't have a problem with Jonah and the well. But when Christ, the Anointed One, says it is more blessed to give than to receive, all of a sudden we throw the brakes on. Well, I'm not so sure about that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Yeah. That gem is mentioned in the book of Acts. Well, there's other sayings of our Lord in Acts, but that just kind of pops up. Remembering the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Very, very powerful words, of course, from the source of love and goodness.
Amen.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Let's hold off on the calls for just a few moments and get some of the text into the record here, as they would say in court. Let's begin again at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your produce, then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof, For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. And that is the first, about third of Proverbs 3. Let's go back to the phones.
Very powerful.
And let's bring James in on this, who wants to focus in on Proverbs 3, verse 7. James, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning.
In Proverbs 3, verse 7, it admonishes us to not be conceited, and that will keep us healthy spiritually and physically. I like to try to let Scripture interpret Scripture and find out if believers can claim the promised rewards for overcoming and keeping the law properly that is listed in. And I'd like for you to get these verses for me, Pastor. It's Revelation chapter 2, mm-hmm. verse 17 and 26, and Revelation chapter 3, verses 5 and 12. In those four verses, it talks about a promised reward for overcoming and keeping the law properly. Can you kind of give me an application in regards to how you guys were talking about Proverbs, if these promised rewards are for us, or is it conceited for us to think that we would have that?
This, of course, is the Word of God, and God is making a promise. It's interesting, the law makes promises, and in this case, but of course there's strings attached, you might say, not to say that it's something we can do. Well, we can only do it by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Yes, I would say that you can claim those promises. You kind of hold God to the promises. You pray to him, you know, Lord, I've been faithful. You know, do not forsake me. Keep the promise that you gave. That's something that's supplication. When we make a supplication before the Lord, it's urging it. You promised. You promised. It's just like you talk to your father as a son, or your son talks to you as a father and says, hey, Dad, you promised me. And so, in a sense, I think that we can be bold in that. Now, sometimes it also says in this beautiful passage of Proverbs, you know, here you got the right foundation that's laid and grounding, where it says that God also disciplines his children. And of course, we can all say we're all sons of God. So in other words, that difficult times may come in, or maybe it, and then maybe God, by not giving us a certain blessing that we might think we're entitled to, is actually helping us, because that blessing could be a curse in taking us away from the Lord. But no, I definitely agree. And again, that's sort of like coming into that now we're able to fulfill the law, and so we're able to get the promises and blessings of God.
But we don't have to worry about our imperfection. That's that sin boldly quote that we have in Luther, because we can confess all the more boldly.
Yes, exactly.
Because that is one of the promises that you're talking about.
But I think that's very helpful, James.
Yeah, just to think about those promised rewards. It says, and when you get the discipline to have an ear to hear and to overcome, it talks about when you overcome that you get, that there's a promised reward of hidden manna.
Yeah.
If you have an ear to hear, there's a promised reward that you'd have these kind of rule. And I was just wondering, you know, because there are pioneers that come in our neighborhood every Saturday, and they talk about these promised rewards and that they're available to believers. And I was wondering if these promised rewards, when the law is kept properly, when we're free to do it, and we have the ear to hear, can we have that expectation without conceit? And I'll hang up.
Yes.
Well,
I think you're exactly right, James. Yeah.
I was going to say, when he said pioneers, I was wondering if he meant Jehovah's Witnesses. I think that's...
That doesn't seem like that doesn't seem like the term that usually... But I've noticed that I've encountered a lot of that type of activity going on in my community. And again, you know, they're been talking to Rick mentioning about, I think there was another caller that mentioned about the Holy Spirit, what the gender of the Holy Spirit is. I mean, all we have to do is say that the Holy Spirit has personality. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that the Holy Spirit is like electricity, God's active force.
It strikes me also that if there's some enterprising young fellow out there who's working on a men's group at his congregation, the Sons of Discipline. What do you think? You know, making Proverbs 11 and 12?
As long as you say being a disciple, you have a tendency to be legalistic and get too law-oriented.
Oh, come on. Let me for 5 minutes be this way. Always you reproof me. Always you discipline me.
Well, you always have to hold things in balance. But you know what's neat about this, about this section of Proverbs is that here you have lean not to your own understanding. Here you have the foundations. This is the proper perspective. In Proverbs contains it in this particular chapter.
And not to sound real, parochial here, but that's the verse 5 of Proverbs 3 that really separates the Lutherans from all the other churches.
Yes. Notice it's steadfast love.
You guys beat on this all the time.
Yes.
And that's your opportunity to beat on it.
Well, I mean, the steadfast love is God's chesed, that God binds himself to us. That shows that he is faithful in his love toward his people. And it's what we trust he is, yet we are faithless, yet he remains faithful.
Well, you get back to Herman's call about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
The new interpretation, the new theologians, I think, as you call them, the neo-theologians, talking about the female as the Holy Spirit is the female component of the Trinity and that sort of thing. This is what bringing your human wisdom to God's word does for you.
Yes, exactly. And that's why we should not lean on your own understanding.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom. Well, yeah, good luck today. No kidding. Blessed, you bet. If you find it, let the rest of us know, because we're searching desperately. Just a little tongue-in-cheek. And the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Let's pause there at verse 20. Now, this is fascinating because wisdom is not a what. Wisdom is a who.
Yeah, well, at least if you speak about wisdom as being Christ, then it's a who. But in this case, it's like a personification or sort of a literary device. In other words, let's picture wisdom and foolishness as two women, and which is the one who will be your wife.
True.
Or which will be one your liaison. Of course, the foolishness, the woman, the dark woman of the Proverbs, the adulteress, of course, is not one that wants to be a wife. But again, it's sort of...
Well, just verse 19 is what I focused in on, where it says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. Let us, make man in our image. Maybe I'm in too much of an Advent state of mind, because one of the antiphons of Advent is,
O come, O wisdom from on high, and order all things mightily. You know, to us the path of knowledge show, and so on. And again, that's in Proverbs 9, of course, is where it talks about Christ as God's wisdom creates.
That's where I was going with that. That's what I was
And the thing is that you see that the source of wisdom is God. And in a sense, how do you describe or how do you define wisdom? It is the way to use knowledge. Knowledge is knowing you know, facts or knowing, having experience and so on, but putting that into practice in the right way is wisdom. Prudence is such a, I just love the word prudence. People act prudently.
You know, they used to name girls that.
Yes. Well, I mean, and John Bunyan in his Pilgrim's Progress has the House Beautiful, where there's prudence, piety, and charity, and discretion. So here you, those are good names for ladies. And so here again, maybe it's tying into wisdom, where it's talking about the personification of wisdom as being a beautiful, wise woman.
So in this short middle portion of Proverbs 3, if I want to synopsize it, is God essentially saying, don't worry, I'll take care of you.
Yeah, okay. Well, if I can, I mean, I just don't. You know, you want to, you sort of, again, having the red flags go up. I don't want to coast along, just let it go, put my feet up.
Well, verse 16: long life is in her right hand; in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Well, when you have that,
yeah, then again,
what have you got to worry about?
Well, there's sin in the world, and there's calamity, and so on.
And you were just starting to feel so good about everything,
yeah,
and now
yeah.
Here, all right, picking up at 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. They will walk on your way securely. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Boy, how many people today, especially as Christmas draws near, are going to be losing sleep because they're worried about this and worried about that and making travel plans and
well, maybe
all the
that's
has to be done.
That's part of what you were saying
before.
Pastors
have to plan. And you've got pageants, and then you've got, you know, who else is going, and then the Women's Guild wants something, and then the Altar Guild, you've got that extra service, and who's going to show up and do this now, and then you've got to wash the stuff and put it out. And
yes, and then
I doubt you're going to sleep much between now and New Year's.
Well, I'm thankful to God. I think one of the wonderful things that in Scripture it mentions, the sleep of the laboring man is sweet. So it was when we're doing working for the Lord, when we're living His life in the world, and we occupy ourselves with wholesome things, then our sleep is sweet. And then it's what you said before. You know, we basically, God says, I'm in charge. I give wisdom. You know, I apply wisdom. And you know, again, it's Christ says, do not worry. You know, it's a sin to worry.
So is it that nagging little voice of wisdom in the back of your head that says, this is not what Christmas is about? Having come out of, the Black Friday, Cyber Monday,
yes,
rush.
Exactly, yes. And it's interesting that, you know, sometimes it's disappointing if you listen to Easy KEZK 102.5 and have all the Christmas music that's playing. You know, it's some of that is all secular. You know, I like it when they have some of the little real purpose of Christmas, which, of course, is Luke 2.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm like I said, I'm in an Advent state of mind. I'm the Grinch around my house. Because, you know, Christmas starts on December 24th.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little, because by the time...
My mother was like that.
Because by the time Christmas does roll around, you're so tired of Christmas, you just want to get on to something else.
Exactly.
You know, it sort of takes the special time, specialness of that time away,
mm-hmm.
when you've been subjected to it since August. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. See, again, that's where I get this, you know, don't sweat it.
Mm-hmm.
I got this, is what God's saying. You know, what is worry going to get you, Pastor?
Just sleepless nights.
Sleepless nights.
Yeah.
For the Lord is your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it, when you have it with you. Well, there's sanctification.
Yes.
How we serve our neighbors. You don't serve your neighbor by pushing him off to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have it, sort of like when you have a holy roof.
then use it.
Then use it.
Bob's on the line here.
Oh, you're tired of me already, are you?
No,
only 55 minutes, and you're looking...
No, I'm just looking at the clock.
Bob, here you go. Apparently, I'm not meeting the deal here. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Apparently, you're not, Roland. I don't know. Actually, what I wanted to comment on was, you got to remember, this is written to the son of Solomon. That was Rehoboam.
Oh, yes.
These words, if Rehoboam had listened to this instead of the nonsense that his advisors gave him, he might have preserved the kingdom, but he didn't. He listened to the stupid advice he got from advisors instead of to his father, who in his old age was not too bright himself. But he was a wise man, and he should have listened to these words and instead of pursuing the heavy taxation and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and he listened, and then, of course, it says that he didn't listen to the old men, he listened to the young, his own peers,
right.
the young men, and that's something.
Yep.
So a lot of times, I think us youngsters need to listen to those who are wise and experienced, and to respect what their advice.
Well, at least we old men, at least we think we're wise.
Well, at least we're experienced.
we've already made the mistakes, so we can tell them what kinds of things they can expect when they make those same mistakes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a word we don't like to talk about, and that's thank you, Bob, and that's consequence. And Proverbs is full of that.
Yes.
You know, the consequence of sin, the consequence of bad behavior, the consequence of fill in the blank.
And again, it's ultimately leading us to Christ, leading us to who is the true wisdom, and is the one who, is the one sent by the Father to save the world.
Now here comes the hard bit, especially if you don't have a good neighbor. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Do not envy a man of violence, and do not choose any of his ways. For the devious person is an how often do you hear this word used today? Abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace.
It really pretty sums it up as to what following a life of the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, and again, it's just a lot of good homespun precious wisdom, and we should treasure it like fine jewels, as all of the Word of God.
The devious person is an abomination to the Lord. What is an abomination? We've got about a half minute.
An abomination, of course, is something God that is so horrendous, that it is horrendously evil, that really makes Christ's skin crawl and maybe his blood flow, like in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's something which is offensive to God. It's evil. And this person who's devious, in a sense, that mean it's not necessarily somebody who is a badin by what he does, but his being double-minded, which is the essence of sin and doubt.
And being double-minded is also another way of saying?
Unbelief.
Hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly.
Pastor David Boies Clair serves at Faith Lutheran Church as well as Bethesda Lutheran Churches in the southern part of North St. Louis County.
Yes.
That way we can narrow you down on the map a little bit. And we'll be talking more about faith as we move towards Christmas. How do you like that?
Yeah, that's good. We always want to talk about faith. Yeah.
Thank you, my friend.
Yeah.
Ask the Pastors next. Stick around.
Listen to The Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for The Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.